It's time for Montana's statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana. Call 1-866-627-5483 to join in. The fastest hour in radio starts now.
And it starts with me again. Hi, everybody. Taylor Brown here again with you this morning, continuing to fill in this week as the guest host for Tom Schultz, who's spending some time with his family this week and taking a little Christmas vacation. We have a tremendous show lined up for you today. If you like history of Montana and the stories of some of the people that made our state what it is, that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today. And I knew you knew after listening to the last 2 days that sooner or later I was going to get back to talking about agriculture, because that is what our story is today. In Montana, our biggest industry is agriculture. It's the economic driver of our state, and for many reasons, not just because of its size, but also because of its stability. When other industries ebb and flow, agriculture stays stable. I don't know how you'd define sustainability, but because agriculture is made up of a committed, multi-generational group of family farmers and ranchers that don't stop generating that economy when prices are low, or there's a drought, or a recession, or even a pandemic, agriculture continues. These people are tied to the land, and they have a commitment and a passion and a grit that you just don't find in any other industry. And it gives our state economic stability when we face tough times especially. Well, about a third of our largest industry is derived from the production of wheat and cereal grains. And those wheat and barley and oat and cereal grain producers work together as members of the Montana Grain Growers Association. That association is maintained in Great Falls. They have an office and a staff managed by an executive director. The director is hired by the Montana Grain Growers Board. And for the past 14 years, the person that has been that executive director and who's managed the Montana Grain Growers Association has been Lola Raska. And now that is changing. This past spring, when Lola Raska announced that she was going to retire at the end of this year, it was news that nobody welcomed, because of the role she has played in her last 21 years on the Montana Grain Growers staff. It has just been that significant. So today, I've asked Lola Raska to join us to reminisce a little bit and maybe share some of her thoughts on the Montana grain farming industry and her perspective on the changes that she's seen in the last 21 years working with that association. Lola, wonderful to have you on the show today. Thanks for being here.
Well, good morning, Taylor. Thanks so much for inviting me. It's a interesting time in my life, and to reminisce about agriculture in Montana is a great opportunity. So, thank you.
Well, your story is so typical of a lot of the families that are the core of Eastern Montana, the Scandinavian influence that ended up settling a lot of Eastern Montana. You were raised on the family farm near Plentywood that was homesteaded by your grandfather. Tell that story a little bit. It goes back to, you said, 1906.
Yeah, it was. My grandfather, Ole Benson, immigrated from Norway in 1904 and first spent a couple of years in Minnesota, where they had some friends that they had known. My grandfather actually immigrated by himself before he brought his family over. And then northeastern Montana opened up for homesteading, and that was an opportunity that they couldn't pass up. So they moved west and first settled a little bit north of Freud when they were able to get a quarter section of land. And then in 1909, there was the Enlarged Homestead Act, and that allowed settlers to work twice as much land. So they got a half section and moved south of Redstone, about 13 miles south of Redstone, where the family place is. It's about 25 miles southwest of Plentywood. I grew up in what's known as the Wanso community there. Went to a one-room schoolhouse for 3 years before that closed, and eventually went to school and graduated from Plentywood.
You and I first met when we were in college at Montana State at the College of Agriculture, and both of us came from rural areas. I mean, I was from Jordan, from one-room grade school, and you from Plentywood. Didn't know each other. Both of us got there with the kind of a backward sort of country kid expectation that you would have coming out of those areas. But you grew up in agriculture. So the fact that you've been so involved in the wheat industry, really, since you were a toddler, you've been doing this.
I have, you know, and our situations were similar, but you really gained a lot of your experience through FFA, and mine came through 4-H, and it was an important learning experience for me, and it also participating in state activities allowed me to meet kids from all across the state and got familiar with a lot of the areas and the differences in agriculture. But yeah, growing up on the farm, I was essentially my dad's right-hand man. I spent all of my summers that I can recall swathing hay and summer following. Back then we had a tractor that didn't have a cab on it, so we had a very large radio propped on the fender that was turned up to the current music that all the neighbors could hear, I'm sure. But summer following without a cab was an experience.
Do you remember what kind of tractor it was?
I don't. I know it was orange.
Well, I'm just glad you remember the radio. That was the important part of it anyway.
Right.
Well, Lola, we're going to talk about some of that history and some of where the grain industry has come since your granddad got involved in it and brought farming basically to a part of the state that had never had farming before. Been a lot of changes since then. Let's talk about them. We'll continue our discussion here as Voices of Montana continues. Taylor Brown with Lola Raska after this. Today on Voices of Montana, our guest is Lola Raska, who is the retiring executive vice president for the Montana Grain Growers Association. She's been the executive for the last 14 years, so they're going to miss her at the Montana Grain Growers. Lola, before I let you tell any stories or do any thank yous, or maybe you're recognizing some of the things that got you to this point, I'm not going to surprise you with a lot of things through this show, but I might surprise you with this. A few weeks ago, you had to hold your state convention by Zoom, and one of the parts of the state convention is the outgoing president gives some remarks. Well, Vince Mattson, outgoing president from Chester, of course, had some things to say about you and your position, and some of them were a bit of surprise to people.
The name that has become synonymous with Montana Grain Growers announced her retirement. After 21 years of unprecedented service to the Montana Grain Growers, Lola Raska decided it was time for someone else to pilot the ship. Everyone knew that this time was nearing, but no president wanted to be the one who pushed her over the edge. Joking aside, I think, while change can be difficult at the beginning, more often than not, it is a good thing.
Now, this is the best
change
part
in this
coming
position
up here.
Change will bring new ideas, programs, and tradition into the organization. I'm not sure what to say about an icon that has been the gold standard in the industry for more than two decades. Not only on the state level, but just as equally on the national level as well. This format does not do her justice in a proper send-off. However, this is probably how she would have liked it anyway. The executive team has been thinking for quite some time on what to do for her, and nothing seemed to fit until the idea of a scholarship was brought up. This had merit because it will be long-lasting and is very fiscally responsible, which I know Lola will truly appreciate. So with the foundation's blessing, we are renaming one of the Montana Grain's foundation scholarships to the Lola Raska Excellence in Ag Scholarship. So thank you again, and hopefully we'll see you in 2021.
The outgoing state president of the Montana Grain Growers Association, Vince Mattson, in his retiring address a few weeks ago by Zoom. And Lola, I know you hate that part. You just hate that kind of celebration. But what a cool thing for them to name one of those scholarships after you.
Oh my gosh, it was amazing. I'm not known as a very emotional person, and I'm really glad that I didn't have to listen to that in front of a room full of our members at that convention, because that one really touched me. It's pretty amazing, quite an honor.
As we talk about the history of this industry, there's been a lot of change in the wheat business, but just give me a minute or so of what happens from the homesteader days till now, the amazing change that's happened just in this industry in the last 20 years in productivity, in impact, and you've seen some challenging times in those periods of time since you were a board member originally in the Montana Grain Growers.
We have, you know, and you're right. Wheat farming in Montana is really relatively recent history comparatively, you know, from the 1900s of homesteading, and then over the next 20 years, farms actually, production actually multiplied the number of acres in wheat production multiplied tremendously. And as that has happened, from the beginning of wheat farming, we've seen attrition and the number of farms has declined as they become larger in size. But really over the last 40 years have been fairly consistent around 26,000 farms in Montana, and the average is right around 2,500 acres. But that average, you have to remember, takes into account a lot of the very small farms too. So we estimate, and actually AgStats estimates too, there's currently only about 6,000 farms in Montana that are more than 2,000 acres and over 100,000 in sales, which is the bare minimum in sales in order to make a living on the farm. So you know, the development of MGGA was a result of a lot of those producers who came back from World War II and started farming, and they remembered the tough years of the 30s.
Let's talk about that. We'll come back and discuss that more as Voices of Montana continues. On today's Voices of Montana program, Taylor Brown sitting in as your guest host, and our guest is Lola Raska, the retiring executive of the Montana Grain Growers Association. And we interrupt this broadcast to bring you a breaking news story. The team at Northern Ag Network just walked in the room, tapped me on the shoulder, and said, "We think because Lola Raska's on the radio," they can't think of any other reason, "the price of winter wheat just went over $6 on the Chicago Board of Trade just moments ago." So, Lola, we're going to have to keep you on for a few days. If that's what it takes.
If that's what it takes.
But it has been a better year this year. Truly, Vince made that point, I think, in his retiring speech that, you know, the price of wheat has come up like 25% since last summer. We had our highest winter wheat yield ever in history in the state of Montana per bushels per acre. And with the trade deals happening, despite COVID, your industry has had a pretty good close to this year.
There really is. There's a lot of optimism out there right now. Of course, that you know, comes along with good prices and good production. We didn't have a disaster this year, which is pretty unusual across a state as large as Montana. But, you know, our presidents usually compete to see what the price of wheat was during their year as president. So Vince should be feeling pretty good, although he did just turn over the presidency to Mitch Conan from Fairfield. So maybe Mitch gets to take credit for this one.
Maybe so. Well, you were talking about the important, you kind of talked about how the grain industry and wheat farming has changed over your tenure and your family's tenure. The importance of the Montana Grain Growers Association, you're just starting to talk about what things we have to come together and do together that an individual producer can't do on their own.
Right, and that was really the beginning of how MGGA came to be, is that, you know, those World War II vets came back and they had a much more broad view of the world and market potential, and they were pretty optimistic then. Mechanization was just coming to bear, and they knew that and research could overcome some of the disadvantages that they had of being in a state like Montana that's so far from some of those markets. And so they started to look for organizations that were specific to their needs. A lot of the general farm organizations got their strengths in other parts of the country and weren't really specific to grain production or to Montana. So those early leaders started to work together to develop a plan to help themselves out, really, which is a hallmark, I think, of agriculture in general, but definitely of Montana agriculture.
Well, and today they have a strong voice. I mean, when you go back to Washington or to the state legislature and look at the impact that your association has, they make a difference in policy and how COVID rules are written, in trade, and whether we can expand markets to China and Japan and Korea. They have made a huge difference.
We really have. You know, historically, I reference a lot of a book called No Money, No Postage, No Secretary that was written. It's an early history of MGGA and the Wheat and Barley Committee, written by MSU ag economist Charlie Rust and Jim Christensen, former Wheat and Barley exec. And I pulled this quote, these two quotes from it that I think really define MGGA. And they were written in 1962. And it's, the first is, "We have an insistence on evaluating issues on merit and above politics. And we have made and will make every effort to learn the true facts on all programs." And I think that, you know, that's carried through over the years. And that's why we're looked at as such a credible source for how policy affects Montana grain producers.
Lola Raska, who is retiring as executive vice president of the Montana Grain Growers this month. And Lola, the sister organization you mentioned, the Montana Wheat and Barley Committee, a different arm of the grain industry. But talk about the relationship between that board and that effort and your Montana Grain Growers Commodity Organization.
Yeah, creating the Montana Wheat and Barley Committee was really one of the first efforts of MGGA and one of the primary reasons why they formed. They knew that they had to have some kind of finances to develop new markets and work on research to improve varieties and improve their situation. And so they wanted to create an assessment, a checkoff, again, back to that mandate, internal mandate to help themselves. So one of their first efforts, just a year after they formed, was to introduce legislation in the Montana legislature to create the Montana Wheat and Barley Committee. And it took 10 years and five legislative sessions by these early leaders that were just visionaries in their field. And the fact that they were able to stick with it and persevere in the face of all of that is just inspiring to me.
Yeah, look at what checkoffs have come out of that line of thinking. I mean, it took about that long to get the beef industry checkoff, quite a few years after that. But that progressive thinking of saying nobody's going to do this but us, we're going to have to help ourselves here and put our own money in. And then the benefit is you get to drive it. You get to drive a little bit of, well, what research will we do or where will we promote?
Absolutely. You know, their budget is about, it's over $4 million every year, and they put over 50% of that towards research, specific agricultural research at MSU, and it's grower leaders that direct where those funds go.
We've been talking with Lola Raska, who has been on the staff there at the Montana Grain Growers for 21 years. I remember when she started out as she was working on their website when she first started out and working as a farm policy associate for them. And before that, she was on their board. She served as a grower board member for a while. So Lola, you've been involved in the grain growers through a long period of time, and one of the main jobs of the executive vice president is to grow membership, to get people to produce a product that people want to join and be part of. And you have been successful at getting members, but you just talked about how there's getting fewer farmers, farms are getting larger. So what a challenge to keep membership strong, and I know that's something you've worked on this last year.
Yeah, I think it's an every year project. You know, all of the ag organizations in the state struggle with that. As a whole, farmers are very independent, and they're not all joiners. So it's always a challenge to find a way to show value to them in belonging to an organization. And we try to do that, you know, daily. That's what we do, mostly by providing the kind of information that they need in order to improve their operations.
Well, and not only just getting to join as members, but then to create leaders, you have to fill your board, and you have to fill your committee chairmanships, and you have to get people to step up and be officers. One thing I've always admired in the years that I've watched the Grain Growers Association is the youth in that association, because you bring people on pretty quickly. You don't stay in the chairs of leadership for 6 or 8 or 10 years. Within 2 years or 3 years of getting in the leadership position, you're probably running the state association. But how do we develop those leaders? How do we bring them to the point where they can lead our association? Because like you say, a lot of them, they maybe come out of 4-H or FFA like you and I did, but past that, they may not be born leaders.
Yeah, you know, I think that's one of the most difficult things in developing a board is finding those opportunities for these people who have stepped up and opportunities for them to engage and contribute, because that's what they join for, and that's what they step up for. My directors always knew that once they came on the board, they were fair game to receive media contacts, you know, do emceeing work, help arrange local meetings. But then when they stepped up to become an officer, we really expanded their responsibilities each year as they move up every year through the chairs. And we travel all together as a group of five, along with the exec, to all national meetings, so they're well prepared when their turn comes to step up into the presidency. And they get leadership training as an officer through our National Association of Wheat Growers. They're asked to testify, and they're given many opportunities to use the skills that they've gained. But I think really the key for me in developing leaders was to make sure that my leaders were as well-informed as possible. These guys are volunteer leaders, and they have their own farming operations with a lot of other obligations. And, you know, there's such a thing as information overload anymore. But
yeah.
As the exec, if you do the research and you know the issues inside and out yourself so that you can facilitate their debate and their discussion on the key points, and then when you send them out there, they're confident in the message that they're carrying for the organization.
Lola, we're going to move on to discussing more about some of those leaders before we finish up. But I know this is going through the mind of Allison Vergeron, who's stepping into your shoes, saying, how do I keep this momentum going? How do I keep those leaders coming into place, as with any executive of any association? Our guest is Lola Rasko. We'll continue with more Voices of Montana in just a moment.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Taylor Brown sitting in today for Tom Schultz on Voices of Montana, along with Lola Rasko, our guest, who is retiring as the Executive Vice President of the Montana Grain Growers Association. Lola, you were talking about the role of associations a moment ago, and I'm thinking about Allison Vergeron stepping into your shoes. Parts of it will go very well for Allison. She's been the field representative for Steve Daines. She knows how national policy works. And I first met her back when she was assisting us in the state legislature a few years ago. When she was in the state Senate, she was on our staff. So that part will come pretty natural to her. But the association work, the rest of pulling things together, that takes a little bit of time to understand how farmers think and how to get them to get engaged. Won't be too hard for a girl that grew up in agriculture like Allison did, though.
No, I think we really lucked out in finding Allison, and she brings a lot of experience already and some things that she does not have to learn like I did early on. And she's committed to the role. She's very excited about it, and she's willing to spend the time to get to know the growers and travel across the state. And I'm excited to see what the future will bring under her leadership.
She has something else in common with you. She also grew up on the family farm that was homesteaded in 1910, but over at Polson. So quite a bit different homesteading at Polson in 1910 than it would have been in 1906 in Sheridan County. But but still, what deep roots. So let's talk a bit about, as we go forward then, about some of your experiences and what you've been through in these years. Because I think as we talk about the influence that grain growers have on farm policy and the things you have to do to make those happen, how many times have you been to Washington, D.C., would you estimate? You probably have no idea, but how many times have you been in our nation's capital?
Well, you know, for the most part, it was a couple times every year. So, you know, over the course of my tenure and before I became EVP, even, you know, more than 30. And some of the highlights, those congressional administrative visits were always a highlight. And seeing your MGGA grower leaders step up as spokesman for the Montana wheat industry when you know, push them into these offices to carry the discussion. And it's really fun to watch that process happen.
Well, and you learn how to do it. You learn that, you know, I can imagine you're coaching your officers out in the hallway. Now, when we get in with the senator, he's only going to give us 6 to 7 minutes. So get to the point.
Exactly.
Yeah. But it's a skill you learn. And like you say, as you practice it, any other things that come to mind about trips to D.C. over the years?
Yeah, you know, I always tell my officers that not to make any enemies with any of the staff, because the staff are really the key in getting your message to the member. It's pretty usual that our member officially meets with us as well, but you need to get your message across to the staff, because that's who you deal with on a day-to-day basis. And making those connections was really always the best part, building that relationship with staffers who then became friends over the years. And as they changed positions, maybe moved to USDA or out in other career changes, that you got to know them. One that comes to mind to me, outside of congressional staffers, was getting to know the agricultural attaché at the European Union well enough that when my daughter ended her summer internship with Senator Burns and needed a place to stay for a couple of weeks, she was able to move in with his family in D.C. And, you know, it's building those relationships with people who then become friends and partners throughout their careers.
I was thinking of how we got Ben Thomas, for example. I was thinking of how, or a Dave White, or the people who have made such a difference in their roles in government because of their association with real farmers.
Exactly. You know, and one of the senators who was just excellent at hiring talented staff was Senator Max Baucus, and he was predominant throughout my tenure at NGGA, is why I remember him so well. But his staff, you know, he was just great at hiring talented people, and those staffers have gone on to very prominent roles. Ben Thomas is one. Darcy Vedder, who became the agricultural attaché for the USTR. She was a good friend from Senator Baucus's office. Brandon Willis, who went on to run the crop insurance program, administrated RMA, you know, still a good friend. And, you know, it's developing those relationships so that you have that rapport all the time.
So over the years that I've interviewed you and had you on our radio and programs and the times we've talked, I remember several times you were on overseas trips representing our industry, representing the wheat and barley industry overseas. Talk about a couple of those times and what kind of an international experience you've had, especially your trip to South America. I think that was a pivotal time for us.
That was really memorable for me. Largely foreign travel, we have left the Montana Wheat and Barley Committee to do that market development, and those directors go on a lot of those trips. But I have participated in a few and went along with an MSU Follow the Grain group to Taiwan and Japan, which are two very important markets for us. But in 2011, Senator Baucus invited me to go on a CODELTA congressional delegation to South America. And I was really impressed with the doors that a prominent U.S. senator could open. We had a very incredibly demanding schedule of briefings and meetings. There was very little free time. And at that time, there was a reluctance in the U.S. to finalize the Colombia Free Trade Agreement. And Kim Murray from Freud was another one of the growers who was with me on this trip. And our role there was largely to reassure the Colombian officials that Montana agriculture supported the agreement. We were backing it. We were doing all we could to get that passed. And we were happy to learn that it was successfully implemented then 1 year later. That was a really memorable trip.
I wanted to run some names by you of leaders that I've gotten to know in this industry. And I think in your tenure, some of them were probably out of the association by the time you became active, but you've gotten to know most of the leaders in our wheat industry since it started. I think about the seven people who have been president of the National Association of Wheat Growers from Montana. The first one, while you and I were still in college at Montana State in 1978, did you ever get to meet or get to know Glenn Moore from down at Willard?
I did. You know, I had many opportunities to visit with Glenn, and he was quite a visionary, very impressive man, an early leader of MGGA. He was NOG president and knew at that time that early on in NOG that they needed to have a presence on Capitol Hill in order to be a force. And so he actually wrote the check to purchase the wheat building that's two blocks from the Senate office building in 1978. And in 2016, he was actually honored at a ceremony when they retired the mortgage. And sadly, Glenn passed away later that year. But what an asset for the organization. The sad decision, a bittersweet decision, the building was actually sold in December of last year for $7.3 million. Which gives the NOG and the National Wheat Foundation quite a nest egg to build on.
Well, you know, the first one I knew well, the first National Wheat Growers President from Montana that I became so close with was Bud Luthold, partly because he was from down here in our part of the state, from the Molt area. But talk about a guy that's made a difference. Your thoughts about Bud Luthold and his engagement in the value-added side of our industry.
Yeah, I know that story, but I didn't personally know Bud Luthold of this group of growers. He was not one that I know, that I ever had the opportunity to get to know.
And I was that way with Glenn. Glenn had been through it by the time I got active, and then Bud, of course, after Bud got to be president, he bought the Cream of the West organization and started making cereal, and he gave me quite a bit of free cereal over the years, I gotta say. Let's talk about some of those other leaders. Let's continue as we roll forward with our discussion. It's so fun to have you here and have you on the program, Voices of Montana with Lola Raska. Talking about your Montana history, what a treat it has been today to talk with Lola Raska upon her retirement as the Executive Vice President of the Montana Grain Growers Association. Lola, we were talking about some of those names of giants in the industry. The second president I got to know was the third president from Montana. It was Chuck Merger from Sun River. Chuck and I did a lot of cool things together.
Such an innovative guy, and he actually got me started with the grain growers. I got to know him through the Great Falls Marketing Club and the Precision Ag Research Group. And when he termed off of the board, he's the one who asked me to run for his seat.
Wow.
So he's really the one who got me started with the grain growers.
What do you remember about Gary Broyles from Rappeljay?
Gary Broyles, Rappeljay, passionate guy, very dedicated to the grain industry and ag research. He's still active on the Montana Grains Foundation. And actually, earlier this year, he stepped up again and was elected to the National Wheat Foundation Board. So he's actually leading at the national level once again.
From just out of Great Falls, Dale Schuler came along in 2006.
Yeah, Dale was NOG president when I took over as EVP, and such an effective advocate for Montana and U.S. farm policy. Very analytical. He developed charts. I remember he would throw out a few coins to illustrate his point about how little the cost was of farm programs when he would visit in offices. I also have some kind of interesting memories of Dale and a lot of beaded necklaces in New Orleans, but I won't go into that.
Darn, I was hoping for those parts. Darn it.
Actually, Dale is the current chairman of our Montana Grains Foundation, and
sure
he led
is.
The effort recently to raise $5 million to establish the very first endowed chair in the MSU College of Ag. So Dale is quite a contributor still.
Well, since in that capacity with the Montana Grains Foundation, since he will be responsible for the Lola Raska Excellence in Ag Scholarship, we better not discredit him here today.
Well, we had a conference call last week, and they said, well, you know, since that's named for me, they thought I should maybe cough up the money for it.
So. Oh, yeah. I liked it when Vince said, well, Lola will rask, well, she'll appreciate the fruit. Of doing it in this way, you know. Yeah, careful with the money. I'm the executive, no question about it. Then, of course, then came Bing von Bergen, one of you and I's friends from our college days years ago, and a guy that from there from Central Montana.
Yeah, Bing was the newest MGGA officer when they hired me as exec, so we really shared a solid 8 years of policy work on two farm bills. He's a very business minded, big picture guy, and Ben commanded a great deal of respect. Well, he also had some fun in the process. He could argue with anyone and still make them want to have a beer with him when it was over. He actually really had to step up in a different role too, because NOG was in between CEOs when he was president. So he also took that over and traveled back and forth to DC every week for several months in order to manage the staff and office. Just a really, really good leader for Montana.
One thing about you, Lola Raska, you're really good about talking about what others do. And I appreciate that, because I know why many of those board members stepped up and why many of them decided to volunteer. I know why, because somebody has to ask you. I appreciate your comment about Chuck Merges. Somebody has to suggest that, hey, maybe it's your turn. One guy that stepped up this last year twice, I mean, was national president from your home country up there in Northeast Montana from Outlook, Gordon Stoner, stepped up, ran for national office, and then stepped up again. What a commitment from Gordon.
Yeah, you know, I was in high school with Gordon, so I've known him probably longer than any of these other past leaders, and what a great advocate for wheat growers. He really did go above and beyond there when there was a change in leadership, and he had to do more than his 1 year. Very well-spoken professional. He's also become an advocate for the pulse growers and currently serves on the Montana Pulse Committee.
Sometimes you just have to suck it up and do what's required. You just sometimes have to, I mean, there's nobody else to do it, and you look at yourself, and if not me, who? And that's kind of what it amounts to when you're talking about developing leaders. And I know if you had one legacy you'd like to leave, it's probably that you helped develop some leaders and helped get some people to step up. And that's the message I think we want to impart today.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've learned something from every single one of my past presidents I've been impressed with and inspired by. And, you know, just their willingness to step up and be that spokesperson and advance the Montana grain industry.
Lola, thank you for being on the program today. It's been just a treat to reminisce a little bit and talk about some of the times we've been through. And any thoughts on where you're headed next? Any thoughts on what's going to happen for you next?
Nothing definite, no. Keeping my eyes and ears open, you know, there might be some opportunities. I'm not looking for anything as stressful or as intense as I've just come through, but not quite sure that I'm done yet either, so... Well,
I warn you about retiring. When our friends start to retire, I notice they're four times busier after they retire than before. So so be careful
too.
About that. Learn that word no. Have you ever heard of that word? I don't think you
have. I have, yeah.
Yeah. Lola, thanks for joining us. Thanks again for joining us for Voices of Montana. I'm Taylor Brown, sitting in for Tom Schultz on the Northern News Network.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers, and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.